Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I'm Stephen Lang.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, babe?
I'm all right. I'm trying not to... well, I mean, you've reliably informed me it's very warm outside, Bob. I haven't been out. So you're in a vest. So I'm assuming it's pretty spicy out.
Pretty spicy out, yeah. So I didn't actually realise till I left the house to go to the gym how hot it actually was. Mm-hmm. But I was speaking to someone in the gym and they were saying today's actually the coolest day. It's going to get hotter from today onwards. I kind of missed this bulletin about another heat wave. I mean, I'm not complaining. It will take it.
I am.
How are you? Not feeling it?
No, I've had enough. Winter is coming. Can't come any sooner. We're going to die of drought, like, or bloody something. Nuclear attacks. I mean, it's getting pretty ropey out there in the world, isn't it?
Well, I don't really understand. Yeah, they keep saying something. I think it's all dependent on areas, but is there a hose pipe ban kicking in?
Yeah, certainly is. Well, there is in my area soon. I live in a third floor flat, so no danger of me hose piping anyone over the balcony.
But how are we running out of water? I mean, my geography ain't good, but we're an island.
Yeah, but
we're surrounded by water.
But it's all salty water. You can't drink that.
Oh, I see what you meant. Yeah.
Yeah. So the stuff that like falls out of the sky is what we drink, I think. And that's running low in all the reservoirs and stuff. So, it's not good times.
And what's the latest about there's a blackout coming now, is there?
God, Bob, you're going to get me started. Me and the people I work with have just been all day, we've been like, oh, apparently there's another tube strike. Oh, apparently there's polio going around and children need to go. The monkeypox. Now there's like... it's like, when is it ever going to get better? I don't really... Oh, the bills are going to start costing £4,500 a year. I don't understand. It's like everything's just sort of falling apart. Like it maybe it's the end of the world.
Yeah, but it seems like there's always something at the minute, isn't there? If it's not petrol going up or the cost of living and then water and now blackouts, like, what is going on?
I completely agree with you, Bob. But just like... cockroaches and Cher, you and me will be around interviewing celebrities until the end of time, which may be sooner than we think. So so we best enjoy ourselves while we can. What have you been up to? Anything exciting?
Well, what have I been up to this week?
Been
to the gym. So, yeah, train. Do you know what it is? Because we're now recording on a different day, aren't we? So I know it still goes out the same day for everyone listening, but that's changed. So I keep thinking today's a Tuesday. But it's actually not a Wednesday. I'm kind of at that stage where I don't know my arse from my elbow. But we move. What can we do? But it's been a week and a half of showbiz gossip, hasn't it?
It certainly has. I think we should probably kick off with the saddest news this week, which is obviously the loss of Olivia Newton-John after a really, really long, fight with cancer. What do you make of it? I was pretty sad when I heard the news.
I was really sad. I mean... I think like a lot of people, for me, Grease was such an iconic film when I was a kid.
Mm.
And
still is.
It's one of the films you can watch over and over again. Mm. And we've probably all seen it at least 50 times. It was one of them, especially the video days where you'd rewind it and go back to the beginning and start again.
Yeah.
And in my short time of being on the other bus, which was about 2.5 hours, I think, in my life, I kind of went through a stage of loving Sandy very quickly, then started to fancy Danny. I mean, still a bit of John Travolta now, lovely. What beautiful pair they were. And yeah, I mean, just so sad. She had such a long battle, like you say. And even though I think we've known for so many years she hasn't been well, I just don't think, well, I certainly didn't see it coming. And just so sad. What did you think of it all?
Yeah, same really. I think you kind of forget the incredible impact that she had. She's a bit like, she's just always been there. She's always been around doing bits and bobs in the background. Obviously, that was Grease. But, you know, she's been a long-term sort of, cancer advocate. Trying to raise awareness wherever possible. And she's also done obviously like bits and bobs of pop music, certainly in the 80s, with like Physical and Xanadu and all those sorts of things. Recently, one of her songs was featured on Stranger Things, which a song I'd never heard of before. Yeah. I can't remember what it's called now, but yeah, it was one of those sort of like suddenly everyone's talking about her again. And you know, she's even done bits of music and stuff. I think she did a Christmas album with John Travolta not so long ago. So it's been quite sad. And the amount of celebrities that have come out and sort of paid tribute to her as well has been amazing. Cause she was kind of Australia's sweetheart, wasn't she? Despite being born in the UK, she moved to Australia pretty young. And I saw tributes from, you know, Kylie and people like that, just saying like such an inspiration. And I think that's kind of it, really. I mean, what a lovely legacy to leave behind. She never seemed to, as far as I'm aware, upset anyone, or she just lived like a really lovely life and tried her best to make it enjoyable. And she had her own tragic things go on in addition to her cancer. You know, she lost her husband, she found another husband cheating, blah blah blah, a lot going on. So it's interesting to read all those things about her, which I wasn't even really aware of.
And you don't really get films like Grease anymore that have that kind of, I mean, it's over 50 years old, isn't it?
Yeah.
So many generations can sit and watch and love. And like we say, you can watch over and over again. And again, she's done so many things up. She's got a hospital, wasn't she, in Australia?
Yeah, yeah, Melbourne, yeah.
But yeah, what a legacy, and how many, and I think that's what makes it even sadder and more shocking, because they're kind of immortalizing that generation of Greece. To us, everyone knows Danny and Sandy. So yeah, very, very sad day, and really sad news. Do you want me to sing a bit of Hopelessly Devoted to you?
Do you know what? I'm all right. Thank you so much.
Sad enough this week.
Not when I've got my headphones in, Bob. Maybe when I've muted you. Maybe.
All right, guys. Well, you've been well saved there. I was going to break into song for Olivia.
But it hasn't. I mean, there has been some exciting news this week, and kind of seemingly out of nowhere. But the Strictly lineup's begun to be announced. It hasn't been all confirmed yet. But there's a pretty stellar lineup this year. What have you? Well, I'll read some of them out. We've got
read
Kim Marsh.
To me. I know Kay Adams.
Kay Adams, yeah.
Love
from
it,
Loose
okay.
Women. Kim Marsh, Matt Goss, like 80s legend. DJ Tyler West, got Paralympian Ellie Simmons, Will Meller, Radio 2 presenter Richie Adams. I mean, on and on. There's a footballer was announced today, sort of retired, like Tony Adams, I think. So there's been like loads and loads of people coming out. What do you make of it?
I think it's, I mean, I know we always say it, but I think already from the names I've seen before we started recording, I think it's going to be a great series again. I think Kim Marsh will be incredible. Mm-hmm. Bit of Will Meller. I mean,
no complaints.
Bit of Will.
Yeah.
Matt Goss, I think, is going to look lovely in spandex and a bit of Diamante.
Certainly.
I'm ready. That is makes winter worth coming. Do you know what I mean? Saturday night in chicken bowl and a egg fried rice. And, and then seeing Strictly back on our screens.
Yeah, it does always feels weird when it comes to this time of year, because you're like, once it starts, it's on every weekend until basically the weekend before Christmas. Yeah. It's a long time. And then it's basically January. And then you're like back to the... I mean, summer's over, it's Christmas, winter's nearly over. I don't know, it's just like a weird feeling when they start to announce them. I always feel a bit like this stage, you've really got no idea what anyone's going to sort of be like or dance no. like. But you sometimes get an intuition. Because when Kay Adams was announced, I was like, oh, now I like a bit of Kay on Loose Women, but I'm not sure... I don't know why I'm doubtful about her dancing ability. I don't know, maybe it's the way she walks down those stairs at Loose Women. You know, I don't know. maybe it's something like that. Whereas someone like Matt Goss, obviously you kind of know that he's going to be good because he's been dancing. I mean, probably not sort of routines, I guess, but sort of, yeah, showing off his skills for a while. Will Meller, I think, is going to be like the series hottie, because he's like he's always kind of flown a bit under the radar, I think, but he's He's actually like super handsome, isn't he?
Oh God, I have the biggest crush on him in like the 2 points days.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, proper little salt, weren't they?
Still is, yeah. So sort of between them two and Tyler West, who's very handsome as well, I think we're going to be spoiled for choice for attractive men this series.
It makes Saturdays worthwhile, especially with all the doom and gloom that's going on in the country at the minute. The list is endless, like we said at the top of the show. So if we can't have a bit of Strickland, a couple of good-looking men dancing around on a Saturday night, what's the point?
This is what I'm looking forward to.
Like you say, like, because I know we've spoke before, and you never know from the off how people are going to do, and you kind of think, oh, they could be a contender or whatever. I always assume, I don't know if this is always factually correct, but anyone from a singing background, I always see anyone that can sing, or I think you kind of have, can you move? Because you've got some kind of rhythm to sing. So yes, I definitely think that's going to be quite good. I think Kim's going to be good.
Yeah. I'm on the fence with Kim. She can do
a bit of pure and simple, but it weren't really slap drops and tango, was it?
No, it certainly wasn't American smooth and street dance. I don't know. I'm kind of in two minds as to whether or not I think she'll be good. We'll have to wait and see on that one.
Sometimes the sports people, you mentioned Tony Adams. Sometimes you see the footballers and cricketers and people from sports can often pull it out of the bag. I mean, look at Alfredo.
Yeah, definitely. There's almost no rhyme or reason. I think you're right in like with musicians, they tend to have sort of a natural inbuilt sort of understanding of the beat, which I think helps. Like you said, there's been cricketers and journalists and all sorts over the years that have done well, that you would never have sort of guessed. So yeah, I guess we'll keep an eye out and see what happens. And
I guess by next week we'll have our full confirmed lineup. So that
exactly.
Normally about 12 celebs?
Well, yeah, but I think they've got a few more this year. I think they're up to sort of 14, 15.
Oh, nice.
So I guess we'll have to wait and see. Yeah, because I think they've got more professional dancers this year than they've ever had before. I don't know what that means. They haven't confirmed how many celebs, and they won't do until the very, until they say this is the final one. Because I guess it goes right up to the wire with sort of contracts and all that sort of thing, doesn't it? And behind the scenes shenanigans. So we should have at least 3 or 4 more, I reckon. And then maybe we can give a prediction next week that we can revisit in December to see how close
we winner. Let's do one of them. We'll pick our pre-show winner. And then on finale, the week after the finale, we'll see who was closest.
We'll see who they both are. Yours and mine went out in week 1 and 2. So and that'll be the end of that. I don't know if you saw this week as well, big split news. I don't know if it's that much of a surprise to anyone, but Kim and Pete Davidson, Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson, have not managed to make it work. I don't know. Personally, not that surprised. What do you think?
Do you know, it's one of them, and I think we said when the news first came out, not that I've ever been married, but I don't think everyone was holding out hope for it to be a long-lasting relationship. I think especially when she just come out of her breakup with Kanye. So there's always that pressure the first time you kind of move on or with someone else. And it seems their whole relationship, let's have it right, when you're dating a Kardashian, that's how it's always going to be. But from the off, every week, it feels like it's been quite full on, and I bet feels longer than it actually has been. I think from when it was announced or when it was rumoured they was together, there's always been headlines around it. I saw that Pete Davidson, he's apparently now allegedly seeing a therapist, like a trauma therapist, since the split.
And since he sort of, because didn't, I think it's to do with sort of Kanye and what Kanye had said about him and stuff, and, sort of threatening him on social media and things. And it probably is. I mean, she is literally, I'd go so far as to say, the most famous woman on the planet. Maybe apart from the Queen. I don't know, like, It must be quite a weird situation to find yourself in. Pete's obviously very successful and has dated very famous women before, like Ariana Grande and stuff. But yeah, it must be quite a different vibe when you're suddenly thrust into the spotlight like that and in the headlines constantly.
It's a lot of pressure to put on a new relationship, isn't it?
Yeah.
And a lot happened really soon. I think like he'd had a Kim tattoo, like there's been tattoos involved here. So it's been quite the relationship in the few months that it's been. But as Kanye's posted something since he's heard about the splitters, and he's saying, was it like a fake newspaper headline or something he's put on social?
Yeah, something like that. Didn't he take it down quite quickly though? I think he really needs to step away from the social media, doesn't he, and sort of not get involved. I don't think I'm going to be wrong in suggesting that Kim is probably not going to get back with Kanye. So kind of whatever he does, he's just kind of making a bit of an idiot of himself almost, I think. It's not very becoming. He needs to be a bit more sensible, I think.
There's a few people out there that are saying they think this split's all a bit of a PR stunt. I think his film has been released this week, which some people say is a bit of a coincidence.
Right.
And I believe they're currently filming the second season of the new Hulu show, The Kardashians, obviously formerly Keeping Up. But I just don't think, like you said, she is, lover or hater, and you know I love a Kardashian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But whether people do love her or hate her, she is probably one of the most famous women, if not the most famous woman in the world.
Yeah.
Does she really need to do a PR stunt around a breakup? I don't know. I don't think she's at that point in her career where she needs to pretend to break up with someone.
Or need any more publicity than she's already got. Yeah.
She does all right. Don't show.
Yeah.
That's what I'm impressed.
Yeah. Don't think she's sort of begging to be on the front pages of any sort of the gossip mag. She's not ringing up the journalist saying, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. That's not her vibe.
She ain't called up Bella this week.
No, unfortunately, I've not been saying, Kim, it's all right. We're going to cover it.
We'll put you on the front page.
Yeah, exactly. No, none of that, sadly.
I know we've spoke about it a lot over the last, since I started this show 2 years ago. But have you seen that Britney's ex, Kevin's, done an interview now talking about the kids and her? And I've not seen the full interview. I've seen a couple of clips.
Yeah, it's not a surprise, I think, that he felt he had to say something eventually. He's obviously, I would imagine, don't know for sure, been paid quite a bit of money to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And he sort of went on about how it was a male exclusive. It's good that they got it, and you know, any sort of publication would bend over backwards for that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But he did kind of go in on her about the fact that their two sons hasn't stayed with her for years. They kind of like live with him, really. They didn't go to the wedding because it's not like they've fallen out or anything with their mum. They just sort of want to steer clear. And she obviously hit back saying that, like, bringing up two teenage boys is tough and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It's a bit, after everything that's gone on with her, feels a little bit, it's just more sad news for her, really, isn't it?
Definitely. What do you take from it? Is it being alluded that they're embarrassed of how she's on social media? Is it that like the dancing and the Instagram stuff?
Exactly that. Yeah, I think it's a lot to do with that. But also, I feel like, because Kevin mentions about how he feels that the conservatorship actually really saved her. And I mean, maybe in some ways it did initially. The initial thought behind it was to get herself back in control of her life. But then when it got to the point where she couldn't take a paracetamol without permission and she couldn't paint her own kitchen walls, like where's the line between looking after her and preventing her from living a life, you know? And Kevin will have only really seen the perspective of the rest of the family because he's not married to her anymore. You know what I mean? So that's complicated.
He seems very pro the dad, Jamie, doesn't he? From what I've seen in the clips, he was like, I think, like, pretty much says he believes that he's saved Brittany, especially in the early days of, I think, the conservatorship.
Well, I think definitely most people probably felt that to begin with, right? Like, she obviously wasn't in a good way, sort of 2007, 2008.
That was the umbrella in the car, wasn't it?
All that, like, going around LA late at night, sort of stopping at petrol stations and, you know, to speak, like, I don't know, the whole thing was just quite scary. Her crying in the street, really bad. And someone needed to get back in control of that, right? And obviously that worked initially. He will have only seen that's the side of it, of the family. He won't have actually been with her and seen what it was like for her. I don't know. That makes it slightly more complicated. There is also lots of rumours around that basically Brittany has been supporting him financially for many years, and now that's not happening.
Because I guess the eldest, or the boys have got to be, because I was trying to work out age, they've got to be almost 18 now.
Yeah, so mid-teens, I would say, something like that.
Once they probably turn 18, whatever maintenance Kevin was allegedly getting, I guess, for co-parenting or them staying there.
Yeah.
I read somewhere, I think it was $40,000, again, all alleged, isn't it? But I guess that eventually runs out when they become adults. But whatever it is, I just think, with everything that's gone on, it's kind of sad, isn't it? And if the boys do have any feelings like that, I always feel like a hypocrite saying this, because obviously we both get the industry. Do you know what I mean? And when you're a celebrity, it's a hard one to say. But part of me, especially because of Britney's story, I kind of think it's one of them that probably would have been better behind closed doors, where... Did we really need to know that the boys haven't seen her for months? And I don't know, but well, that's celebrity, isn't it?
Yeah, and on the positive side for Britney, there are rumours that she's about to make a bit of a music comeback, isn't there? She's apparently done a song with Elton John called Hold Me Closer. And it's going to be, I think it samples another, you know, a bit like the, what was the sample we did recently? Was it Dua Lipa? Cold Heart. So, you know, it's not all negative. I mean, she's made it quite clear in the past, or in recent times, that she doesn't want to do music and touring and sort of all that sort of stuff anymore, doesn't she? But maybe the opportunity to do something with Elton was just too good for her to pass up.
Well, I was shocked when I saw the Elton story. I was like, gosh, because only very recently, I'm sure she had said that she's got no interest in performing or doing shows, but I think probably because of what's happened over the last few years, where she's felt she's had to do something and been forced to do something, it's kind of like, I guess it's like a rebellion. And like, you're like, I don't need to do that now. So I guess she's got no interest in doing another residency in Vegas, or which I'm gutted about. If Britney come to the hotel and banged out all her old songs, I'm there for it.
I wonder if she ever will.
Every gay in the UK would be.
Yeah.
I'd
say, yeah, probably 80% of the crowd. But yeah, I mean, I think it is the, like, do you remember, like, when Michael Jackson's, before he died, basically was like, I'm going to do all this final thing at the O2 and then I'm never performing again. Obviously, he never got to that stage because he passed away. Yeah, 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 exactly. I wouldn't be surprised if Britney did something like that. Not die. but, you know, like, do a little residency and sort of, and who
but
knows?
I want old school Britney. Toxic.
You want the little trilby on the head. You want, like, the little waistcoat.
The flight attendant trolley. Yeah. I want the old school Britney.
Your best bet might be to go find a drag queen, because I don't know if that'll ever happen. Well, we've got two exciting guests coming up this evening. We've got former X Factor star Ray Quinn, turned like Dancing on Ice extraordinaire singer. Took a few years off in the pandemic to go do some non-showbiz stuff. So we've got him coming up first. And then we've also got from Drag Race Anubis, who is on Drag Race UK Series 3. Coming up after that, but first off, we've got Ray, and he's right here right now, so let's get him in.
Bab, can you hear me?
Hello, Ray, you all right?
Not too bad, me and you.
All good, thank you, mate. All good. Thanks for joining us.
No worries. That's some airport, that pal, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. Bit over the top. Unlike me.
My God.
It gives sort of like Buckingham Palace or something, doesn't it? Like Buckingham Palace, Essexingham Palace or something.
Buckingham Palace looks like that, mate. My God.
Have you been, Ray?
I'm not too bad, mate. Not too bad at all. Yeah, yeah. Yourself?
Yeah, really good. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you've recently started touring, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. It's a tour that isn't tour, basically. It's I'm doing like 11 dates across like 3 or 4 months, but it's just chosen venues, chosen places that I've played before, and the audience have been amazing. So I have my opening night on the 5th of August over in Liverpool, obviously in my home city.
Yeah.
So it was a you know, really nice gig. The audience were fab and, you know, nice full house, and yeah, just felt amazing just to be back doing what I've always done for many years, you know what I mean?
I was going to say, I bet, especially because obviously the last 2 years of the madness of the pandemic and everything, I bet it's so nice to be with a crowd again and able to perform and kind of get back to what you do best.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I've got my big band with me, so all the brass section and everything, you know, playing for me and there. Yeah, like I say, it's just nice to be back doing what I've been doing for a long time, you know, and I've really honed in on me skill as far as me, you know, what it is I do for a living. And you know, I know the music, I know it well, I'm passionate about it. It's the only thing that really drives me. I get a lot back from it, you know, and it just feels so privileged, especially after the last couple of years. The entertainment industry's hard, you know, to be back up on stage with a live big band playing all the swing music for me is like, you know, the cherry on top, really. It's great to be back in Liverpool, boss.
There was quite a lot of attention, obviously, during the pandemic, when suddenly you were back doing sort of normal jobs, wasn't it? Yeah. How was that? Was that a bit weird, or were you kind of expecting it? What was the...
I wasn't bothered, to be honest. I was just doing what I needed to do. I needed to give myself a bit of a purpose because I'm a busy fella. I'm always doing something, you know. And then to have something, I thought, well, I'll just go and do it. What's wrong with that, you know? Yeah. So I just to keep myself from being like bored and, you know, not feeling as if I was making a difference or doing anything. I hate not doing nothing, you know what I mean? I mean, especially when it comes to my job, you know, there's always a gig, there's always a show, there's always an appearance, so there's always something to do. And when especially when you don't have a choice, that's the worst thing about it. You know, I wasn't given a choice, it was taken away from you, and not just me, you know, other entertainers and, of course, people who worked in theatres behind the curtains, you know what I mean? All the tech lads and tech women, and, you know, that was all taken away from you. So I guess it was just the fact that, well, I'll just go and do something. And that's what I chose to do. I went and did a bit of that and a bit of this and did everybody else's job but my own. But it's nice to be back.
And congratulations, Ray. Going to be a daddy for a second time.
Oh, no.
How do you feel about it? Obviously, now it's second time round. Does it feel a bit easier?
I mean, it's just 10-year gap. do you know what? I'm so excited. I've never felt so like content in my life, and I'm dead happy, and I can't wait for them to come along. Like, I don't know what it is yet. You know, we haven't found out or nothing, but I couldn't be more proud of me missus. She's created a human. I think it's sort of like hits you more as you get a bit older. Like, you feel like, wow, you know, her body's created this human being that's going to come into our lives, and it's a part of both me and her, and you know, a little miracle, really. So I know it's going to be so exciting. I even now I'm dead excited, but I can't wait to meet them. I can't wait for them to be a part of our lives, you know, and grow all together. It's going to be lovely.
Are you going to find out what sex it is, or are you going to have a surprise?
No surprise. Yeah, so basically we haven't found out the whole time, so we've been quite patient, really. So hopefully, you know, on the day, it's a baby.
That'll be a relief, I'm sure, when you find that out.
That'll be a good start, wouldn't it? And, so I'm not finding out, but as I say, when they come here, it doesn't matter what they are, as long as they're happy, healthy, and mum and baby are healthy. Like, that's all I care about, really. I think as you get older, all the worries hit you more when you think about, you know, the complications of it all, you obviously think about the things that can go wrong, but you know, as well as the things that are, you know, exciting about it, you have your concerns. But I couldn't be more excited. I couldn't be more happy. So I'm made up. Can't wait.
So have you got a boy and a girl named Reddy? So
to be honest, we've been back and forth with names the whole time, like back and forth with boys' names, girls' names. But I feel like we've stuck on one for a girl, but we're still unsure about a boy, which is mad, because you know what it is? I think there's that much choice out there. There's that many, you know, me missus runs a dance school where we live, and there's that many kids that go with all different names. Do you like spoil for choice, really? Where you think, because people will think we're copying them. You know, that many names, so I don't know. I'm sure when they come out, we'll go, you're the whatever, and we'll figure it out then.
Because I guess it's quite, well, it is a huge decision, isn't it? Like obviously, I haven't got kids at the minute, but I think there must be a pressure on it, because you're almost, the name you give this kid is like you don't think about it, I guess, at the time. But that's
stuck with them forever.
Yeah, I know it is a big decision, but you know, I'm sure like when we meet them, it'll be like
you'll know.
We'll just know, you know. So I'm not too concerned about it, to be honest. And we've spoke with our friends and people that we know, and they've also said the same. Like someone said to us, "Oh well, we didn't have a name for our baby for like 5 days, so until we came around to sort of naming them, you know, they were baby for 5 days, so you don't." You know, I'm not putting too much pressure on it anyway. As long as Emily's okay and the baby's okay, that's all that matters.
Exactly.
I did want to ask you, actually, there's been a lot of attention recently about sort of, you know, the shows that you, the sort of back in the day, The X Factor and all the other ones, Pop Idol, Pop Stars, all that, about there's been a lot of the former stars sort of coming out and saying about the mental health struggles that they had while doing the show, and how they're not 100% sure about it, rumours about it coming back and stuff. What do you think about all of those sorts of things now, looking back at your time on them?
Well, for me, it was an opportunity to seize, you know, and grab it both hands, really. I mean, I was only a young kid with a dream, and I just went for it, you know, with the experience that I'd had, which was very minimal. But, you know, I guess for me, I've got nothing but good things to say about it, because obviously it gave me that stepping stone in my career. I've got a platinum selling CD that I had when I was 19. You know, sell out tours, some fantastic experiences that I'll never forget and I'll have with me. So I do worry about the younger generation, people who are kids who are going in it that are perhaps, you know, younger than I was back then, you know, 15, 14, 15. You don't know what you want then, and I feel like it's a lot of pressure given the machine that the X Factor is. But in my experience, I had a wonderful time and I'll never forget it. And it gave me that platform to sort of move forward. So, look, every kid's got a dream, haven't they? Like, my lads want to be a footballer when they grow older. It's another different world, you know. So, you know, even if you're nine and you want to be a lawyer, you know what I mean? Like, it's a tough world, whatever you go into, you know. So you just got to be prepared. Have an understanding, even just a small understanding of what it is you're about to take on, but always stay true to yourself, believe in what it is you're capable of, and never lose sight of that, you know, throughout the bad, the good, and of course the ugly side of it. But well, you know, always remain humble, knowing that you went in there with the same heart as you're going to leave with. So
And do you think the world we're in now, with the way social media is, do you think that's now going to change the way shows? Because in the last 10 years, 12 years, we've seen social media blow up so much. Do you think that adds a whole nother pressure to being on a big show like that?
Yeah, of course. I never had any of that when I was on the show. You know, I think, what was it called? Bebo or something?
Yeah, I remember Bebo, yeah.
Yeah.
Bebo, and I think MySpace was just starting. So I never really understood any of that. Do you know what? If I'm honest, I still don't understand any of it.
Probably for the best.
I can't stand it. Social media, yeah. I mean, you do want to, I mean, I post every now and again, but I'm not like savvy. I'm not on it all the time. I'm quite old school in that sense. But I wouldn't have an opinion on it because I've not lived through it in that respect where, you know, you're thrown into the spotlight and then everybody around the world can follow you or DM you or whatever it is. And like that would just frighten the life out of me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even look at any of that. I post and then I close the app. That's it. A lot of the world is so driven by social media, and I see that in my nieces and things like that, you know, and I think, oh no, like, you know, just be careful. You don't know who you're bloody talking to, you know.
I reckon it would
have a pressure, but as I say, I'm not savvy to it because that wasn't a part of my world then. It only is now, and even now as a man 34, God, I have to think about it then, that, you know, it's there, but it doesn't change my life if it's not.
Oh, yeah, that definitely seems like a very sensible way to handle it. Well, Ray, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Best of luck with the tour.
Nice one.
Where can people find tickets? Yeah, and the baby.
I know, yeah. Well, the baby's imminent. I mean, bless her, she's not handling the heat very well. And, you know, obviously, it's literally what? She's 2 weeks until her due date, so it's... It could happen any time now. Could be happening now while I'm on the phone. You'll have to go, boys. See you in a minute.
Well, thanks, mate. Do appreciate you speaking to us.
No worries. Yeah, nice one. Yeah, and as I say, I may as well mention it while otherwise Danny will kill me. RQTours.co.uk. Go on there and you can get all your tickets from there, from wherever it is you are in the country. And obviously just in the UK, we can get your tickets straight on there. And you can book them either from there or go directly to the box office in your local theatre, whatever it is I'm playing. So, but all the dates are on there as well. And on my Insta.
Got it. Okay, cool. Well, thanks so much, Ray. Have a good evening.
Thanks, boys.
Good talking to you. Love you later. Bye, mate.
Nice one, kidder.
Bye.
You enjoy that ed board.
Thanks, mate.
See you later.
See ya.
Ta-da.
whoever made that headboard, Bob, they owe you some money because they get so much publicity. Tell you,
don't they? Honestly,
what a nice guy. Yeah, it was really nice to have Ray on. I didn't want to mention it to him, but actually, many years ago, probably about sort of 10-11 years ago, I did a photo shoot with him when I was at a magazine, and he had to be in a bath in just his jeans. And I had to stand there and kind of watch it happen. It was not a bad
time. That
bad
was fight. A hard day's work.
Really hard day's work. Really hard. don't want to embarrass him. We've got our second and final guest, Anubis, ready to come in. So let's get talking.
Beb.
Hello,
Anubis. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Really good. Thank you so much for turning your phone around the right way. We always appreciate it.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. I'm just trying to figure out Zoom. It's been a while, girl. It's been a while.
We're hoping to get back into the studio soon. We've been doing Zoom now for, 2.5 years, so we're ready. We're ready to go back, yeah.
Oh, bloody hell. I thought you would have returned by now.
Yeah, we're getting a whole big upgrade in our studio, so that's why we're still waiting, but we will get there. How have you been?
Yeah, good. Hot. Isn't it bloody hot today?
So fan, the worst fan ever. We're just saying to Steve, and it's got a double A in it, but literally you might as well blow on yourself.
I'd say. To be fair, just off camera, I've got a giant white fan that looks like a Tic Tac, and I'm slightly concerned that it's going to make a lot of noise.
We can't hear it. We can't hear it. You're fine. So what have you been up to, Anubis? What's been going down?
I have been doing a bit of everything, really. I did my UK tour in like March and April, and then I had a bit of a break, which was fucking heavenly. And then I've done a little bit of a cabaret for the last kind of few weeks of Brighton Pride. And now we're about to rehearse for the UK tour for season 3, which is very exciting, but also draining the life out of me.
How would you shatter, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so tired, girl. I just want more than 5 hours sleep. I'll be a happy bunny. Do you know what I mean? I need five hours.
Oof, that isn't good. How was Brighton, though?
So good. I mean, without making it depressing, part of me is a tiny bit anxious at the moment about this monkeypox. So I was a tiny bit nervous.
Had my vaccine last weekend.
I had mine today.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a bit stressful. Yeah, I think they're quite hard to get, I think. Mm. They're not being very loud about it in the media. I think they're because I don't have many at all. I think they're trying to kind of keep it on the down low.
So was that making you nervous though when you were going out and about, sort of getting
Yeah, massively, because also a lot of my work is like the meet and greets and, you know, kind of doing that part of the show. So I'm always kind of seeing people and making contact and hugging, getting a picture with. So I think a lot of my work is very contact based.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that for me is a big thing that kind of was on my mind for Brighton Pride. But it was great. I mean, I got pissed off my tits and I had a great time, so.
And now you're back saying that you're loving life.
Oh, obviously, girl. I mean, I'm going to the sauna tonight.
Did you get a little sticker like back in the old AstraZeneca days? You know, everyone had it on their phone.
Exactly.
It's a bit of a weird one with monks. Yeah. I was basically like in and out in 10 minutes. The woman was like, you can go. I was like, don't I even get a plaster? I don't want to bleed all over my shirt. She was like, no, get out. Like,
okay, that's exactly how I was. I was like, oh, can I get a sticker or a lollipop?
So since sort of Drag Race for you, you've obviously been sort of doing your own sort of new kind of different thing to what people expect. Are you giving up drag or is it something like you're letting the music do more? What are you thinking?
Do you know what? It is kind of like a big amalgamation of everything. I still want to do drag and I still want to do music. But I think for me at the moment, I'm trying to kind of carve out more of an artistic path.
Okay.
I personally think for me, Drag Race probably wasn't the right time to do the show. Although, you know, I don't regret it and I would go back again. But I do think that it has, in a way, hindered me because a lot of people do see Anubis for episode 1 and 9 and 10 and they just see me as that kind of young Brighton camp queen that can't really do much, you know. So I think with my cabaret tour and with the new single, it's kind of allowed people to see a different side of me that they didn't get a chance to see on the show. So yeah, I'm trying to just break that mold a bit, you know.
In terms of watching the show back, babe, was you happy with how it was all edited together or
no?
In terms of what way?
I think, well, I'm known for my comedy, so it was a bit of a shock to kind of get cast for the show, thinking that that's something they would kind of use. And then, you know, I mean, we sit there, as I'm sure you know, with Right TV, you sit there for bloody hours, don't you, talking about, you know, all the different confessionals and, you know, the mini challenges and what people were on the runway, and you sit there for so long. And what they used, I mean, obviously it's not up to me, and it's all for a reason, I guess, you know, for a storyline. But it just didn't reflect my experience. And I remember sitting there for hours telling funny jokes and one-liners and having these little moments, and nothing was used. But I understand that they also have to fit that into an hour of entertainment. Mm-hmm. And it obviously isn't a one-woman show. There's 12 of us in that cast. So I understand that perspective. But in terms of editing, I do think they probably definitely could have included some more of me being me.
In a way, though, is it a positive thing? Because it does allow you to then sort of form yourself away from the show without you can have like Drag Races and Anubis, but you obviously went out early. So like you can, in a way, sort of establish yourself separately? Does it help in that way, do you think?
Do you know what? Yeah, I do think it's a double-edged sword, but I also do think that, I mean, obviously I've gained a lot of my fan base from people that have watched Drag Race. So I think in that way, yeah, it is a good thing to have under my belt, the fact that I can use that platform, but then also do my own thing where I, you know, show people my comedy or the cabaret or the burlesque that I do. So I do think it is probably a positive as well. I wish that maybe I got a bit more of a chance to showcase those skills on television. Because, you know, the people that come to my shows, they've been watching me for the last couple of years at Proud Cabaret and all across my residencies in the UK. So I think they already know what they're buying a ticket for, whereas a lot of people that haven't seen me and they just have seen Drag Race, they might not know what they're buying a ticket for, you know?
Yeah, fair.
So it's that kind of, that getting that balance, but, you know, I am happy and it's working, so that's good.
You've previously spoke about, like, your post-show struggles.
Mm.
How long did that take to kind of, do you feel settled now? Is it been enough time when you look back and you feel good?
Yeah, I think so. We filmed the show about a year and a half ago, and I think, obviously, it didn't air that long ago. It only aired, like, nearly a year ago now. But I think it's been a journey, and it always will be kind of an ongoing journey. But the more kind of theatre and TV I do, I think the more I realise what the world of entertainment kind of is. It has been a struggle. I won't lie. A lot of people think that when you go on Drag Race, it is riches and fame and it's, you know, high profile and you're a celebrity now. And it's kind of like, although that world is also prevalent, there is also the underlying thing of you get death threats every day. You get loads of people judging you for what you wear, what you look like, if you put on weight, if you lose weight. Everyone has an opinion on absolutely everything you have in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I naively don't think I was actually prepared for that to happen when I went into the show, which is my own fault. I do think post-show struggles are probably still ongoing, but they've definitely lessened since. I think the airing of the season was probably the worst of it. But that's because, you know, you have hundreds of people in your inbox telling you they didn't like your dress, but, you know, they loved your wig. It's such a strange world, you know?
There's something about Drag Race that means that people really feel like that they can critique every single thing about your body and your style and your makeup in a way that doesn't really happen on other shows. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's because it's a character and therefore people feel like it's not you? I don't know.
Do you know what? That's a very good question. I don't think there's one answer. I think it is a big combination of lots of different things. I think people that have grown up with the show watch it and it's their comfort. So they've grown up as a, you know, as a 13-year-old and now they're watching it in their 20s. So it's kind of like they've had it in their childhood. So they feel so related to it and so connected to it. But maybe they feel like it is just their kind of born right to have an opinion on everyone they see on the show because it's always been their life, you know?
Yeah.
But I think for the older audience that watch the show, you know, I think maybe people have an opinion because we are these larger than life characters with extra personalities. And it is kind of, it's hard to disassociate us as human beings when we have 3 foot tall wigs on and we're covered in sequins and we, you know, we've got false teeth in, and, you know, that's out of drag. But, you know, I do think that a lot of people see that and they go, oh, well, I can poke fun at it because they're poking fun at it. So, you know, it kind of makes people feel comfortable. But, you know, that's just what I think.
In terms of having struggles post-show, is there a duty of care, like the production company? Is there always someone you can speak to? Do they look after you even after the show's aired?
Yeah, I mean, we have an on-hand psychiatrist and he's absolutely amazing. His name's Gareth.
I think I know him.
You do know him. Scottish Gareth.
Yeah, Gareth. I love him.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. No, he's amazing.
He must be paid a lot of money if he's doing all these shows.
Over the years, yeah.
I won't go into his career, but he covers a lot of shows and a lot of different people. But I think for me, there's always been the option of talking to someone and having someone on the side to speak to, which has obviously been amazing. I don't know if I've utilised that enough, but I also think that I am although, you know, probably contrary to popular belief, I am an introvert. So I don't necessarily like reaching out to people that I'm not, you know, necessarily like close with. And although, you know, Gareth is my first job, I don't know why I'm dragging Gareth on film radio. No, he's amazing. But I think I find kind of comfort in talking to the people that I've grown up with and that are really close, like family and friends. But they do look after you. There is that option.
It's obviously going all right because you are doing the tour, the season three tour. What can people expect from it?
Honestly, chaos. Like we all are so ready.
Season three was quite chaos, wasn't it? Really,
it was. I mean, the definition of absolute buffoonery. But we all have something completely unique to offer, and I think that's what is so great about our cast specifically is that we are all very different. And, you know, there were some people eliminated early that are very good. But also, you know, you've got Electra Fence, who is an absolute powerhouse with dancing and rhythm. You have Victoria Scone, that you didn't get to see a lot of, that she has such a wide range of cabaret and musical theatre. You know, Charity Case, absolute weirdo artist, and you didn't get to see much of her. So there is so many people on this cast that have such a unique perspective on drag and performance. I think it will be such a great tour because we're all doing something completely different that no one's seen before, you know?
And do you have much say in what you're all bringing to the show?
Literally everything, yeah. I think my
acting. Oh, amazing. Fine.
Yes, we have pretty much full control. So we can do singing, we can do dancing, we can do comedy, lip sync, whatever. We can do all of it in one. In terms of the outfits, we get told a theme and then we kind of make whatever we want from that. I'd say like compared to the actual show of Drag Race, we have a lot of freedom. We have buckets full, do you know what I mean?
That's exciting though, isn't it?
Yeah, very exciting because it feels like I can kind of finally get to do my own thing without it being kind of chopped and edited, and it's just full on raw Anubis, which is usually my grinder profile name. But,
when something
I've spoken to you before, actually.
There's no chance of anyone cutting something, editing it. When it's live, you can do you, and there's no worry about that, which is good.
Exactly. And it's nice to be in theatre again. It really is, because the last, as you say, like the last 2.5 years for you guys has been in the studio, like on Zoom, sorry, and not in the studio. So it's nice that we can finally do these tours and do these venues that have been inaccessible for the last nearly 3 years, you know? So that is also a big bonus.
In a way, though, are you kind of looking forward to it being the cut-off point, the end of your Drag Race thing, or do you kind of think like it'll be with you forever? How do you feel?
Do you know what? I am in two minds because I think part of it's kind of nostalgic now because I feel like, you know, I did grow up with the show and I have family on the show and I love the show in its entirety, to be honest. I think my personal experience with it, although still positive, it wasn't what I envisioned for myself. Yeah. And I think I kind of was really excited because I know how excited Ru was to have me on the show. And he made that clear to me with things like, he told me how much he loved my audition tape and my snatch game. And, you know, I didn't get a chance to do that. So I think it probably will always stay with me. And I think if I do get the chance to return and kind of, you know, wrong or right or whatever, you know, try again kind of thing, I probably will take it. You know, so we'll see.
Yeah, fair enough. I can understand that. What else have you got coming up other than the tour? More music?
Yes, I have loads of music coming. So I'm currently writing with my producer, Kieran Armitage, and we're just bashing out loads of songs, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't. And we have some really exciting collaborations coming as well, which I annoyingly can't name until like end of September. But what I can say is, no other Drag Race girl across any franchise has ever collabed with someone this successful in the music industry. That is all I'm saying.
Well, that's exciting.
That is exciting.
Yes. I'm really excited. Oh my God, I've held on for a secret for like 2 months. I just want to tell everyone.
Is it Lady Gaga?
Oh, I wish. We'll say yes. Just say yes.
Yeah. We'll put that out there. No, I can understand. So if, is there like a, sorry, is there like an album? Like, or is there, how are you, what's sort of coming?
Yeah. So Listen, I can't say too much, but we are writing at least an album's worth of songs. Okay. So, you know, it may be an album or it may be like a mini EP to start with, and then I might tour it as a concert. I'm not entirely sure what I want to do yet, so I can't really say and kind of make any promises, but there is a lot of kind of R&B. There's a lot of kind of cabaret tracks that I'm releasing, but it's mainly kind of like a Gaga meets Paloma Faith meets kind of Lord, like very dark pop, which is into fun. It. I'm very excited for it.
Exciting times ahead. So the rest of 2022 is a busy one for you, babe.
I know. I mean, I'm complaining about not getting any sleep now. I don't know what it's going to be like in December when Santa comes around. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, we'll see.
Well, hopefully you get a couple of days off around Christmas. That would be ideal. Because I do know when we've spoken to queens that have done the drag race tour before, it is full on. So yeah, you're going to be tired. You're probably going to get sick, but you'll be fine.
I know, but honestly, it is worth it because, like, I mean, my one of my favorite things in the world is touring. So I just, yeah, we're all going to have a great time. I'm just hoping we don't all fall out by week two because that will be a disaster.
Keep up, we'll keep your fingers crossed for you. Well, best of luck with all Anubis. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're so welcome.
And yeah, look forward to seeing lots more of you.
Thank you.
Take care, mate.
Nice to see you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
I mean, I'm not envious of like those long tours. It must be absolutely like hell. I mean, really fun, but like the constant like travel and all that just must be a nightmare.
Yeah, like yeah, the getting up and spending probably more time traveling from place to place than actually you are in the hotel. But yeah. I'm intrigued to know who the collab's with.
Yeah, definitely, me too. I guess we've got a couple of maybe 6 or so weeks until we find out. But yeah, very exciting, and I'm pleased because it's like yeah, when you go out first from a show like that, you kind of never really know what's going to happen next. But it seems like for Anubis, it's all going pretty well.
Absolutely. Well, what a lovely show.
What a lovely show. Do you know what? I've got a little bit of news, actually. News. News is the wrong word. I'm doing something exciting and I'm doing something for the first time. I've booked a little holiday solo. I'm going away by myself.
Exciting. Tell us more. Where are you off to?
Right. Don't judge me for this, Bob.
I wouldn't judge.
I'm going to Benidorm.
Nothing wrong with Benidorm. I used to love the programme, Benidorm.
Well, that's kind of why I'm going.
I've never been to the place, though, but I love the programme.
Me neither, right? So you fly into Alicante, and then it's, like, just up the road, basically. Yeah, at the end of September, I've just had 4 little days. And I just thought I can get there for cheap. So, yeah, I'm doing first time in my 36 years, I'm going to go away entirely by myself for a few days.
And the weather's still going to be lovely come September.
Yeah, it's like 23, 24.
It's a bit more quiet.
Exactly. Yeah.
You've had your monkeypox vaccine.
Yeah. So I'll be shagging everything inside. no, I chance be a fine thing. So no, I'm just going to like try and enjoy myself and like chill out for a couple of days. So I think that'll
be. Are you a fan of the show?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Do you want to do kind of the karaoke, the drag clubs? Do you want to do the strip?
Can you do that by yourself, though? That's my question. I don't know.
Of course
I
guess, you can, babe.
I guess we'll have to wait and see because I'll be able to tell you when I get back if I'm all back in one piece. I mean, maybe I'll be on that electric bike and crash into the sea. Who knows? I mean, like, anything could happen.
On one of the scooters.
Yeah.
If you walk past the karaoke bar, all you've got to think is, how did Bob do on karaoke? And you know you're laughing because you're going to be half all right. Anything compared to me, mate, you're going to go in there, you're going to sound like George fucking Michael.
That is a very good point, Bob. And one I'll keep in mind when I've had 12 pints and then I'm like...
A snake bite.
snake bite with a little cocktail umbrella in the top. yeah, but anyway, it's not till the end of September. What about you? Got anything exciting coming up or done anything exciting?
I haven't got any other planned. I'd like to go away in September.
Got to get away.
We're gonna let 6 weeks get out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think September, October, I'd like to go away. From what I'm seeing now, it seems like airports are getting back to don't want to say normal, but they don't seem as dramatic as they was a few weeks ago, do they? Well, I'm certainly not seeing or reading about that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's still a bit of a queue, but it is what it is. Just nice to get away. But yeah, even if I could just go away for 5-6 days, yeah, little bit of sun. And but yeah, I'll do a last minute thing, I think.
Fair. I think that's totally understandable. Well, nice to see you again, Bob.
You too, babes.
We'll be back this time next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.